We welcome you back to Ashford Common Baptist Church, where we have a sermon preached to us by Chris Mills. Over to you, Chris.
So today we're doing Colossians 4, 2-6. We need in the wider outside world when we go there both prayer and wisdom. So Michael, can I ask you to read that first passage, 2:1-6, and then could you repeat 2-4 again? Thank you very much.
Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us as well, that God will open us a door for the word, that we may declare the mystery of Christ, for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it clearly, as I should. Conduct yourself wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. And just repeating 2-4. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, that we may declare the mystery of Christ, for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it clearly, as I should.
Thank you very much. So first, Paul speaks about general prayer, then how we should pray for Paul, and hence we see that we're all involved in evangelism. That includes each one of us. In the New Testament, prayer is not just for the needs of individuals or of the church, but for government, general social issues, especially for the conversion of those outside the church. Prayers like this please God. Now, Paul uses the broadest possible Greek word here for prayer, meaning all types of prayer. That's adoration, praise, requests for others, requests for ourselves, confessions of our sin, and above all, thanksgiving. It's so important. Hence, they are to devote themselves to it. That's a strong word, devote. Devote themselves to prayer. Do you? Do we? Do we pray seriously? Do we cover all types of prayer? When and if we do so, not just prayer for our own personal needs. Let's see how important this phrase devotion to prayer is. Let's look at Acts in the early church. I'll just read them out. In 1:14, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and the prayers. And all came upon each soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, i.e. they devoted themselves to prayer. Look what happened. Acts 6:4. But we, that's the 11 apostles, will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And then, of course, the newly appointed deacons will do all the rest of the leadership kind of stuff. Devotion to prayer is a key for the great growth of the early church in Acts, isn't it? Right. Paul starts this letter, if you remember, praying for them. And now, at the end of the letter, he asks them to pray for him. Prayer really does show how dependent we are upon each other and reveals our faith. We can each pray for each other, all of us, for all of us. Those who are housebound or with more free time can become prayer warriors. And in the past, the great success of missionary work was due to such prayer warriors at home praying. Paul prays for his mission work. Not as we're expecting. We're expecting to say, Lord, make me stay. Set me free from prison. Or let me be totally vindicated in that court. I'm sure we'd do that. I'm sure we would. No, what he majors on here, unexpectedly, is just more and more and more opportunities to witness to Jesus, whether it's from prison, whether it's from being released. He very importantly wants them to pray also for him, that he speaks with clarity and be very persuasive in preaching the gospel. Don't forget, this is a well-experienced guy, perhaps the best evangelist in the early church, probably the best ever has been. He's had such great success, but he's still dependent upon prayer, still begging them to pray for him. All of us have a part to play, no exceptions, because we can all pray. Doors need opening, Satan needs overcoming. Paul and all of us are in this great spiritual battle against powers and demons and other minions of Satan. Speakers for the gospel like Paul need to be anointed by the Holy Spirit so we can pray for them. And Lindsay, can you read Ephesians 6 for me?
But our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication to that, and keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. May that I may declare it boldly as I must speak.
Now, the spiritual weapon, by far in this passage, Paul mentions this word five times, or six, I'm not quite sure, depending on the Greek. It is prayer. They're to be devoted to prayer. It will require tough determination and persistence. It won't just happen. We're so easily sidetracked from prayer, aren't we? Whether on our own or at house group. Hey, chatting's so much easier. We must consciously set aside time, fence that time around, commit ourselves to it.
Ah.
Keeping alert, being watchful, alert and thankful. That's the language of guard duty, isn't it? Remember in the Garden of Eden, at the Garden of Gethsemane, those disciples didn't pray, they just fell asleep. Hey, the Colossians are being attacked. There's a battle on for their very lives. There's false teaching around. So they must keep their eyes open. All their senses must be alert. Later on, Paul brings up prayer again when he talks about Epaphras, who converted them. Is this reading for you? Oh, it's Eileen.
Yes, it is. Right. Thank you. Colossians 4, 12 to 13. Hang on. Okay. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you. He is always wrestling in his prayers on your behalf, so that you may stand mature and fully assured in everything that God wills. For I testify for him that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis.
Prayer is connected with hard work and discipline. Not a picnic, it's sheer hard work. It's not a picnic. Quote from somebody, prayer is to be passionate, it is vital, but it is also difficult. You're not to be in fear and trepidation, but prayer filled with confidence and assurance. Difficult, yet you are to be thankful and full of sheer gratitude. Prayer. Now on to the importance of wisdom, which is verses 5 and 6, which is about conducting yourself wisely towards the outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. So our relationship with God is all about prayer. To outsiders, we're to be characterized by wisdom. Being one, sensible in our actions. Two, alert in our opportunity, just grabbing hold of them whenever they arise. And three, being absolutely gracious in our speech. All these are important on our front lines as we witness each day. They can decide just how effective or ineffective we are in our evangelism. They're just as relevant now as they were then. So wisdom has been a main theme all the way through Colossians. He talked about them to be filled with all spiritual wisdom. His ministry is based on teaching wisdom, if you look in 1:28. Jesus in Colossians 2 is the fulfillment of wisdom. And he was worried that there are false teachers out there peddling a sham wisdom in Colossians 2 again. And he implores them to admonish each other in worship with wisdom in chapter 3. So wisdom's all the way through the letter. Wisdom, 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 everywhere you look. Not the speculative wisdom of Greek philosophy, as in Plato and Socrates and Aristotle, but the very practical wisdom that you find in the book of Proverbs. Practical wisdom leads to people living sensible lives, free from folly and stupidity. That's much more than being intelligent and clever. We know how many fools they are who try and who possess both of these. Think of all those professors saying, preaching their Marxism and saying there are 100 different genders. And in Melbourne, children are encouraged, don't use those words, mum and dad, they're transphobic. What a stupid world. What stupid people. What a terrible use of intelligence. No, it's wisdom we need, not cleverness or mere intelligence. This is the godly wisdom that begins with deep respect and awe for God. And this wise person then has a teachable spirit, not proud or arrogant, thinking too much about themselves. And she then grows to produce a spiritual and moral maturity. This person makes doing the right thing both attractive and delightful. She demonstrates the obvious advantages of living in a godly way. In such people, God's truth is brought down to earth and is seen practiced in everyday, ordinary life. They will stand out to others, be attracted to them. So if we're to win outsiders, then we need to behave with wisdom, this kind of wisdom. Such a life really shows how effective the Christian life is compared with the pre-Christian life. If we behave with folly, we're unfaithful in our marriage, we abuse people, we gossip, we're full of greed, we lack compassion with each other, we can't forgive each other, we have legal battles against one another, then our evangelism can't have any impact at all, can it? So we need to be, let's look at this list. First of all, so that's the first point. We need to be sensible in all our actions. Second aspect here, we should look for opportunities and seize them. Make the most of all our opportunities of evangelism. Just like you snap up bargains at a sale. They may never return again. You know, wow, you've got to grab it, haven't you? Primark or wherever. So we're to be, secondly, alert to our opportunities. Use our opportunities when they arise. Carpe diem, seize the day.
Yeah.
The third aspect of wisdom about outsiders is the choice of our words. It says in verse 6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everybody.
Yes.
So our words always are to be courteous and never arrogant, i.e. gracious, interesting and not banal, i.e. seasoned with salt, thoughtful, not superficial, so you may know how you ought to answer everyone. We're to avoid coming across as superior, boring, or unable to listen carefully. Otherwise, you might do more harm than good. So be gracious, stimulating, and deep. It's not about clever arguments, as we are to be attractive, winsome people. Love, and with deep, deep concern, is to be central. We also then, in the realm of spiritual warfare, backing it all up with prayer. With prayer, doors of opportunity will be opened. And outsiders will become insiders in God's grace community.
Mm-hmm.
So today, in the wider world, we need to commit ourselves to prayer to God and to relate to people with this godly wisdom. So, can we pray? Father, help us each day. May we be close to you in constant prayer. Give us true wisdom in all our interactions with outsiders. Make us gracious, stimulating and deep, attractive and winsome. Above all, may we be full of love and deep, deep concern, showing your love and deep, deep concern to all we meet. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. And there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we will be saved. Jesus. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. May we have those right words. And that's so, you know, sometimes we walk away and think, why didn't I say that? But when you come into conversation with people, try and pray before you have the conversation as you're about to start to ask the Holy Spirit to give you the words, because we are human and we do get it wrong. But our God can lead us through those times.
Yes.
Let's just come closer. Let's come into prayer all day, not just at set times, but be prayerful all day. And thank God as we go for getting through each and everything.
Yes.
Because that is the way to do it. That is what he wants. He wants a relationship, a conversation. Not just for now. Thank God before we eat our food. Thank God after we've eaten our food for his provision. Let's just thank him and praise him, Lord, each and every day. And in our ways, Father, yeah, let us be attractive for you, Father, to bring people to know Jesus as their Savior. Thank you, precious Lord. Thank you for your word. It's above all other things. Thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.